pretty funny.
We're the Mega Bucks.
It's kind of how he sounds like.
Welcome to another episode of the Retro Junkies. I'm your host, Rob. And join with me, as always, is my partner in retro gaming crime, Mr. Landon Long. How are you, Hosehead?
Hey, man. Doing good. Getting ready here for the kickoff of summer.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. I was just telling Landon right before we recorded, I think my last official day of school was Wednesday, and that was a half day, and I've had the last few days off. It's been great. My wife and I have been doing a lot of walking, you know, getting out of the house, playing with the kiddos, and I know you've had some softball games you've been attending.
Yeah, man, we've been going to coach pitch softball games every Tuesday and Friday afternoon. So just having a good time with that. It's good, you know. My daughter, she tried t-ball and coach pitch a few years ago, and she had an okay time with it. She didn't really enjoy it. She said it was kind of boring. And she talked, and she has thankfully she has the same coach for her girls softball team that she had for t-ball, and she talked to him before the season, and he said, well, Lola, you know, I know what you can do. Where do you want to play? And she said, I want to play somewhere where I can be in the game, where it's going to be exciting, and I know I can do something. He's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play you at third, and if you want to change that, you let me know. He said, but I'm going to stick you at third. He said, I may move you to second or shortstop some. He said, but if you want to stay in the game, that's what we'll do. And she's done really great at third so far.
That's fantastic. Yeah, you were saying that she had, what, 18 at-bats and 14 hits during that time?
Yeah, she's had 18 at-bats, 14 hits, and, yeah, she's loved it. Like, she loves playing, and you can tell when she gets a hit, like, she's standing on first base, smiling real big, giving me the thumbs up.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm so excited to get Grayson into some sports soon. He's definitely my son in the sense that he loves to be outside. Now, okay, we're similar in some ways and we're different in some ways. I was more like I liked my video games and then I loved to go outside. Like, I'd get bored after a while or a little restless,
yeah.
and I'd want to be outside. Or my mom would motivate me by saying, get outside.
Man, that's the best motivation ever. Get outside.
Get outside now. Grayson, he loves video games. He really does. Like, he is a sucker for Super Mario Brothers. Like, anything Super Mario, he's all over it. I told the story on the last episode. He got into my Nintendo Switch account before I could figure out how you did parental controls and ordered Super Mario 3D World. And, like, Bowser's Fury was like a combo game. But now, like, he'll play the original Mario Brothers on the Switch emulator that they have.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he'll play that. Super Mario World. He loves Mario Brothers 3. And that was my favorite Mario game as a kid.
He's got good taste.
He does have good taste. And he gets scared during the castle, so he gives the controller to me and goes, okay, Daddy, you know what to do.
It's like, okay. I don't know, son. It's been 20 years since I played this.
Right, and then all of a sudden I get the controller, I'm like, oh, still got it.
Oh, yeah.
Until you get to, like, World 2 or 3, you're like, okay, I don't have it at all.
That's why I use the warp whistles.
Yes. I forgot you could get those in Mario 3. I forgot about that.
Yep, you could get all of them that you need at the first level. You can get the two.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know the trick, you blow the warp whistle and you go to where you select the next level, and then if you blow it again there, it takes you to Bowser's World.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, is that where you, like, duck behind, like, one of the platforms, and then you're, like, behind the actual stage?
Yeah, that's how you get one of them.
Okay, yes, because on level one, I told Grace, I was like, okay, buddy, give me the control. I want to show you a little trick. So I get behind it, and then I'm, like, running behind the bushes, then all of a sudden I run back out. I was like, I know there was a reason why. I knew there was a secret there, but I couldn't remember where that whistle was.
It's a secret whistle house.
Man, I should have called you up. Phone a friend.
Phone a friend, yep.
I'm like, hey, man, no matter what you're doing, hey, man, I got an emergency.
That level 8 in that one, the Bowser's World, that's one of the more... It scared me as a kid because, you know, it's like this real dark land and all there are like fires and skulls and it's playing that music and...
Oh, you're talking about the Bowser's Fury one?
No, in Mario 3, when you make it to level 8, like Bowser, like, they call it Dark World or Bowser's Land, but it's like there's all these fires and all these skulls and everything is on fire. And there's like a, it's kind of biblical. There's a lake of fire that you have to go through on a ship.
Wow.
And like, it's dark and it's playing this ominous music. And I'm like, ooh, this is kind of creeping me out as an adult. This is scary.
That does remind me, like, in the new one, Bowser's Fury, Grayson was playing that one last night, and once again, he's my son. He was scared of the game because the game will turn dark. The sky turns dark, and you see this giant, like, blackened shadow Bowser breathing fire. And, I mean, it's pretty scary looking for a kid. I'm like, oh, man. So Grayson, he'd run to his room real quick with the controller in his hand, crack the door open, and then play through the cracked door.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
buddy. I love that.
But then, you know, he'd be obsessing over it, too. I'd be like, buddy, I think this game's scaring you too much. Let's cut it off. No.
No, I have to beat it. You don't understand.
I said, yep, you're my son. But yeah, so, you know, speaking of all these games, we jumped right into it. What retro games you been playing lately, Hosehead?
Oh, gosh, let's see. I broke the PlayStation 1 Classic out.
Nice.
And I've been playing, I'm trying to think what I've been playing on that. Oh, gosh. I've been playing a lot of the old, the first NFL Blitz. I played that just to see how bad it had aged. And I mean, it's kind of blocky, but it's fun in a I'm going to waste some time kind of way.
I bet some of those arcade games, like the arcade style games like Blitz and Hits for NHL.
See, I need to get Hits. I'd never played that one, but I always wanted to.
Yeah, I think I have played it. I know they had it on the PlayStation, but like those are arcade games. You would think they would age more than they actually do. And some of the ones that were more realistic at the time,
yeah,
boy, they're tough to play now.
They're hard. But yeah, I mean, Blitz is very blocky and very, you know, polygony and silly looking, but it's still kind of a fun game at its premise. So,
mm-hmm.
Been playing that. What other fun games have I played? Found a copy of Need for Speed 3 Hot Pursuit.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Where you have the like the Lamborghinis and you're trying to outrun the cops to get around the racetrack.
You know, I don't know if I've ever played a Need for Speed game my whole life. I don't know why. I just never played one.
Oh, man. The 1 and 2 are kind of more like driving simulators where you're like in a Ferrari or a Lamborghini and it's like taking itself seriously. And then after like 3 and 4, they started throwing the cops in that would chase you around the track if you weren't fast enough, and they would pull you over and take your license away or whatever. And then I want to say in the 4th one, I think it was Need for Speed 3 Hot Pursuit, which was where you had the cops, and then there was High Stakes that came after that, which was Need for Speed 4, and you could bet cars against people on it.
Oh, cool.
So, like, if your friend had a car that you wanted, you could bet your car against his, and you both put your memory card in, and whoever won got both cars.
Oh, I bet there were some fights over that.
Oh, yeah. And it had a mode on it, too, that I like to play, where instead of being the racers running from the cops, you were the cop after the racers.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that. That looks fun.
It was fun, man. Now, I remember, like, you tried to, like, you were given a time limit as the cop, and you had to pull over so many cars within that time limit.
Wow, that sounds hard.
It was, but it was kind of fun because the more cars that you pulled over and the higher up you went, like the better police car that you got. Like you started out with just kind of like a police cruiser, and then by like the fourth level, I believe you got like a Dodge Viper or a Corvette police car that you could like go after the really fast cars with.
Oh, cool. In style.
In style, man. And you could like if you had the analog PlayStation controllers, you could click the joysticks and you could blow the horn if you were in a car or turn your sirens on when you were a cop.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's cool. Yeah, well, you talked me into it. Now I gotta get that game. They can't be too crazy expensive.
It's not real expensive. It was just always hard for me to find. Like, I could never find it around here because people that had it never really wanted to let go of it.
Yeah, was that PlayStation 1?
That was PlayStation 1. That was like early to mid-life of the PlayStation 1, like when it was really starting to take off.
Yeah. Gosh, there were some great racing games. I remember the NASCAR games for PlayStation 1 were good.
NASCAR 98?
Yes, NASCAR 98.
That was the first game that I had.
You have that, don't you?
That was first. Yeah, I've still got it. That was the first PlayStation game I ever had.
Oh, nice.
Me and Dad would race each other on it, and we would set our cars up. Like, you could adjust your cars to however you wanted to drive, and we would try to race each other and see who would win.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I remember being blown away by the graphics on that one. My neighbor Dave, you know, the legendary Dave, mm-hmm. I feel like he's the third co-host. We went over to his house, and of course, he had that big screen TV. And at the time, Resident Evil and NASCAR 98, they looked beautiful on that TV. And then another one is, of course, the Road Rash games, the one for the Saturn that they ported to the.
Yes.
Oh, man. And then I like the 3D one, the Jailbreak one, okay. But that other one, the first one that came out, I loved so much more. And the soundtrack was Soundgarden and a few others. Like, there was a couple other 90s bands. There was one called Paw. That was the name of the band, P-A-W. Uh-huh. And I think they only released, like, two albums. But I love those songs so much, I downloaded both on Apple Music.
And they're like, oh, man, we got a fan.
I was like, yeah, this is good stuff. It reminds me of Road Rash. And I even looked them up on YouTube, and the single that's on Road Rash, I looked the band up on YouTube, and the highest rated comment is, like if Road Rash brought you here. It was like 200 likes on it. I was like, I'm liking that. But yeah, gosh, what else? There were some other good racing games. Oh, of course, Ridge Racer. I remember that.
I liked Ridge Racer. Ridge Racer was okay. Gran Turismo on PlayStation 1.
Mm-hmm.
That was another fun one.
I don't think I played much of it, but I did play some. Oh my gosh, and there was a, I don't remember the name of it, but I remember when they had demos, there was a monster truck game, like an off-road monster truck game that was so fun. I would play that one level over and over, and then I asked my parents for Christmas. Didn't get it, but I got another game. I think it was Parasite Eve instead, which...
Hey, that's not a bad game.
That's a great game.
That's a great game.
I consider it a victory.
You remember, I remember Tekken 3 was the big thing with PlayStation 1. Like, if you had a PlayStation 1, you had to have Tekken 3.
Yeah, right.
I didn't really get into Tekken 3, but I got into Tekken Tag Tournament hard. I loved that game.
Oh, I don't think I played that one.
It was, remember when we had the pool hall in town and they had all the arcade games? That was the Tekken game they had, was Tekken Tag.
Oh, okay, yeah, so we did play that one then, yeah.
That was the... I'm trying to think. I was cheap. I always went with Eddie Gordo, and I think Law was always the team that I played as. Because
oh,
you could
nice.
Just button mash with Eddie Gordo, and he would like do 5 and 6 hit combos all the time.
Did you dominate?
Oh, yeah. Casey's just like, you're just mashing buttons. You're not playing with any skill.
I'm like, hey, I'm still beating you.
I said, I'm still beating you. He's like, yeah, well, you're lucky.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So, yeah, played anything else there, Jose?
That's really been about it. Just living the early teenage years when I had a PlayStation 1 when I was full of fun teen angst and would always just go play my Oh, WCW versus the World. That's another one I've been playing on that.
Oh,
I just remembered
yes.
that.
That one I have played. That's a good one.
That's a great game. Mm-hmm. That was the whole reason I wanted a PlayStation 1 was just to play that game.
Was that the one that had the where every wrestler had the full intro with the music? The licensed music? Or am I thinking of a different one?
That may be a different one. This was the one where they were like kind of blocky looking, and it was in 3D. And
but they didn't have the intro music, like the same. Like every wrestler had their own like style of music, kind of like WrestleMania 2000 did.
I think it was kind of along the lines of WrestleMania 2000, but it never did the intro. You started out with both guys in the ring, and it kind of like the camera kind of panned around. To where it got into position, okay. And then you would go at each other when the camera stopped, and it would be like, fight!
Gotcha. Man, I must be thinking of a different one, huh?
That was a good one. I've been at a lot of friends' houses where fights have broke out over that game.
Oh, speaking of wrestling games, I want to give a big, big shout-out to a good friend of mine, a good friend of ours, James from the Exus mm-hmm. Gaming Podcast. He was kind enough, about a month ago, he randomly sent me a Nintendo eShop gift card and said, go download the Retromania game. I haven't played it yet. I got to use that card and download it. But I saw the trailer for it. It looks amazing. It looks just like the WrestleFest game from the 80s.
Oh, that was such a good arcade game.
Oh, yes. Now, that one, that was a great one with Hulk Hogan. He's unstoppable.
I don't know. If you got Ultimate Warrior, you could hang with him, I think.
That's probably right around that time, too. 1990? Yeah, Warrior was hot then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the only one who could stand up to him.
I'm trying to think who all was in that one. Warrior?
I think Boss Man was.
Boss Man, Million Dollar Man, Mr. Perfect, Earthquake. Earthquake was hard to take down.
Yeah. But the Macho Man, yeah.
Macho Man wasn't in that one.
I don't think he was. Yeah, I think I would have remembered him.
It had Earthquake, and then it had Jake the Snake. He was, I think he was considered a good guy in that one.
Ah, wow.
So that was when people were kind of behind him and the Snake. Demolition, that was the tag team that was in it, was Demolition. And then you had to, I think the tournament mode was a tag team tournament where you had to fight the Legion of Doom, and then when you beat them, you had to go back through the entire game again as the champion and beat everybody, including the Legion of Doom again.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm wondering, you got me intrigued now, that if Jake was a good guy then, I wonder if that was around the time that he was feuding against Million Dollar Man.
I think it is, because I know Hogan Warrior, Jake the Snake, and I want to say Sergeant Slaughter and Demolition are considered the good guys in that game.
Wow. Huh. Ah, man, that takes me back. That's when I first started watching.
That was a good time. I remember when that cabinet first came out, too. I saw it in a Walmart, in a kind of the lobby area of a Walmart. And I remember I played it, and I absolutely loved it. I got my tail kicked, but I loved it.
Oh, yeah. All those games. You know, I don't think I was – I think I said this on the last episode. I don't think I was ever good at any arcade game, but I still loved playing them. And this is where they got me. This is where they got me. I keep putting my quarters in thinking I'll get better, and I never really did. So, I played a few games since we last talked. I've played a lot more of 80s Overdrive, that racing game.
Yeah.
That's very similar to, like, Rad Racer and – oh, there was another game it reminded me of. Kind of like Road Rash, where you're upgrading your car as you go. It's an arcade game. It's an arcade racing game. With a convertible, red convertible. Why am I blanking on it?
Outrun?
Outrun, thank you. Yes, that's the one. It reminds me of Outrun a lot. With some really, really good, unique chiptune music. But I'd been playing some Ultimate Doom on the PC. Started playing that again.
Oh, man. We need to cover Doom. We had a Doom episode at one point.
Yeah, we gotta definitely open the door to that again. That'd be awesome.
I know you've been playing some Ultima, because I saw on my little GOG thing, it's like, your friend Rob's been playing Ultima for 3 hours. And I'm like, what? 3 hours, really?
I'm still trying to figure out how the heck it works, but I'm enjoying it, man. I've been going through, like, this little, I don't know, renaissance of old PC games that I'd never played. And another one that I discovered, I did pick up Ultima 1, 2, and 3, the bundle. And then I also got The Secret of Monkey Island. I always wanted to try it, because I heard you talk about it. I heard Josh Witt talk about it and some others in the Retro Junkies community. And I was like, I got to find this. And I found a emulator of it, I guess, an Amiga emulator of it, and played it. And I loved it. It's so funny. Oh, my gosh.
It's got a good sense of humor.
It does. And it was a gorgeous game for 1990. So, I mean, it is aged very well. And then Josh Witt, speaking of another very kind and generous friend, he sent me a copy of Steam of the remake.
I've got the remake on GOG.
Nice. Okay, perfect. Yeah, and I've got it on Steam now, so we'll have to talk about it. Go through it together.
Oh my gosh. I am horrible at that game, but I love it.
That's awesome. I love it.
The humor in it's really good.
Yeah, and the music too. I was very, very surprised at how good it was. So I do have one negative thing that happened over the couple weeks, but it turns into a positive. Okay, so Stardew Valley. I've talked about that game numerous times on the show. I love that game. It's a recent game, but it's just styled like a Harvest Moon game, the graphically and soundtrack-wise. It reminds you of Harvest Moon, and it also reminds you of Chrono Trigger and the graphics. But I've been playing it for like the last 2 or 3 years, and I had over 100 hours on the game. And it's just one of those games, you know, you pick up, it's a feel-good kind of game. Great music, and there's a lot of little things you can do, like go to the mines or raise animals and upgrade your weapons, upgrade your farm, upgrade your house, cook, build relationships with people in the town. There's all kinds of stuff that you can do in the game. It's one of those games you could probably play for the rest of your life if you wanted to. I think there is an end to the game, but I don't think this is a game I would ever want to beat. but I discovered about a week ago I was like, you know what? I'm in the mood to play some Stardew Valley because I'd put it down for a couple of weeks. And I was like, you know what? I just want to sit on the couch, you know, play a little bit, not think too much.
Yeah.
So I pull it up. I pull up my record on the Switch, and it's gone. It is gone. You know, I was starting to panic a little bit. I was like, where is it? Where's it? And then my wife, she pulled up hers, and she's got even more time on her game than I do on mine. And hers was still there. Mm. I don't know what had happened. I don't know if Grayson had somehow gotten on my account. I don't know, but it was gone. So, but here's the beauty of it, though. When I was a kid, the same situation happened to me, and I lost my whole record of Parasite Eve. We were just talking about that.
Oh.
And there was one or two other RPGs, like maybe Final Fantasy Tactics and another one. I lost everything on my memory card, and I was devastated. I was mad. I was freaking out. Now, as a 34, almost 35-year-old adult, I was just like, that's okay. I still enjoyed it. You know?
Yeah.
It's not a waste of time. Yeah, I know I spent a lot of time on that particular game, but hey, that game brought me a lot of joy for, 120-some hours, so I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly.
And the nice thing is, so when I started the new farm, I found out that they added a bunch of maps to it. Like, now you could get the deep forest map. That's actually the one I chose, where you're, like, deep in the woods, and monsters actually come out at night, and yeah, you can kind of slay them and upgrade your weapons that way. And that kind of reminds me of Terraria in that way. But then they had like a beach theme and a couple other maps too. So I was like, wow, this is cool. And now I kind of know what to do. And right now I'm saving up for my horse. I literally didn't get a horse until I was like 60 hours into the game. And that would have saved me so much time. Oh, my gosh.
So get a horse.
To get a horse, yes. I said that, okay, two things I need to do, or three things. Grow crops right away, get a chicken coop, get a horse. Those are my three things. You know, and then I can build everything else up as I go. But it's been fun, man. I've played a little bit more of Stardew Valley. And then speaking of Terraria, I found out that they had a Steam sale on it. And I picked that up for $5. They're doing the...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're doing the 10-year anniversary of that game. And, you know, I have a soft spot for that game because it always reminds me of the Retro League. And for those of you who've been with us since the early days, the Retro League, that was a major inspiration on our show, the Retro Junkies. I was listening to the Retro League a lot, and I remember their main host, Jungle Rat Rob, would talk about Terraria in every episode when that game came out. And he kind of talked me into getting the game. So, yeah, I think about the Retro League a lot and miss that show. I hope it comes back one day. But, yeah, big influence on the Retro Junkies. As a matter of fact, I remember listening to the Retro League, going on over to your house, and then we went to Bojangles, and that's when I asked you, hey, man, let's start up. What do you think about starting a podcast? And you're like, sure. And that was it. The rest was history.
And I still say this today. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good. So, Jose, with all that said, what do you say we go to the arcade and talk about some of our favorite arcade games, eh?
Okie dokie.
Okay. Making your way to the old arcade takes everything you got. Taking a break from all those hosers sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to play a game? All those nights in neon lights with quarters in a pail. Cause your little angel put your Sega up for sale. The pizza guy just didn't show.
Oh no.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody plays a game, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see tons of video and pinball games. You wanna be where Retro Junkies know your name. Out of bed, the work week is dead, the morning's looking bright. Cartoons and waffles drenched in syrup, you'll be chasing ghosts at night. And hops and barrels to save the girl.
be glad there's one place in the world where everybody plays a game. And they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see tons of video and pinball games. You wanna be where retro junkies know your name.
When life gets you down, just know you have a home here, Jose. So grab a stool and maybe some hot wings, because we need another play for Turtles in Time. I call Donnie. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, Hoser, before you talk about your game, I was thinking real quick, are there any, like, just personal favorite arcade memories, you know, old or new that you want to talk about real quick on the show?
Oh, let's see here. There's several. You know, we used to have, actually back growing up, back in the day, back where we lived, where we grew up, it was actually kind of a cool place to be because we had the Family Fun Center, which was an arcade, the skating rink, the Video Zone had an arcade in it.
I remember, yeah.
And then there was another arcade out on the Snowbird on the Indian Reservation. That was really cool.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I'll never forget, I went to a birthday party out there for a buddy of mine at the one out there on Snowbird, and we were playing Mortal Kombat, and my mom, you know, she was kind of, didn't really want me playing that game all that much, mm-hmm. and one of the kids I was playing the game against said, "Hey, call your mom over here real quick. I want to show you something," because he was going to beat me, and I said, "Okay, yeah," so I called her over. She's like, "What is it?" And I'm like, "Hey, watch this." And he was Scorpion, and he did the thing where he, like, rips the mask off, and he sets you on fire.
Oh, my gosh!
My mom's like, "You are not to ever play that game again." And I'm like, "Thanks, man." But not like the skating rink. I remember there were Street Fighter II tournaments there all the time because they were the only arcade that got a cabinet of Street Fighter II.
Oh, man.
Growing up, when we were kind of 5th, 6th, 7th grade, going into high school there, it was a couple years before you moved to town, the local pool had an arcade. They had a Afterburner, an Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, an Area 51, an NBA Jam, and two pinball machines in the little lobby area.
Yeah, that's a tiny little building. They crammed them in there.
They did. Like, they were just kind of boom, 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 right next to each other. And, like, we figured out all the secrets to those games and figured out how to, like, rig them to play free. And it was a good time. Like, when I think of arcade, I think of those good times of, like, just being around friends and mm-hmm. seeing how far we could kind of push the boundary without getting in trouble, but not really getting in trouble for.
Yeah, that's awesome, too. And, you know, I know the area you're talking about with the pool and that little pool house and everything.
Yeah.
Man, there's no better feeling for a kid, especially in those teenage years, to know, like, okay, it's the first day of summer, you know, the pool day, and then you get to play video games. I mean, I think every kid and teenager, and probably every adult, honestly, like us, the pool and playing games, like, are the two highlights over the summer.
Oh, yeah.
And just being around, like you said, being around friends. So many of my summers were filled with both.
It was. It was a good time. Like, I know it's kind of nostalgic sounding and everything, and you're looking through it through rose-colored glasses. But, I mean,
sure,
it was a great time. You know, you didn't have anything you had to worry about. You were out of school. You know, you'd mm-hmm. wake up. I'd wake up and watch Price is Right and eat some lunch. And then, you know, we'd all load up and go to the pool because it was open from, like, 12 to 6. And then, you know, we'd all hang out from, like, 12 to 4 or 4:30 when, you know, somebody's mom would get off work, and then, like, all 6 or 7 of us would load up in their car and they would drop us off, you know, at our houses. And it was a good time. I mean, pinball machines, I mean, they had good pinball, too. They had Bride of Pinbot and Funhouse there 1 year.
Really?
And
wow.
That was, like, the ultimate when it came to pinball. But, yeah, like, you know, we'd have Mortal Kombat tournaments against each other. We'd play Afterburner and try to see if we could beat each other's scores. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd go out and try to show out for all the hot babes that were there and, you know, jump off the high dive and see who could make the biggest splash. And You know, they even had, in our little pool place, it was right next to the tennis courts, and they had tennis racket and tennis balls that they would rent to you. But because we were there, like, we seriously went every day during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like Monday through Friday, we were there. They would just give us tennis balls and tennis racket and say, all right, guys, go out there and have fun. So we'd play tennis, and then we'd get hot and go back in and jump in the pool, and somebody would find, like, 50 cents in the pool in the deep end, and then we'd all go in and play Mortal Kombat or something. I mean, it was fun. It was a good time.
Oh, that sounds like a good time. I wish I'd known you guys back then.
Man, you would have loved it. We made fun of Casey all the time. Because he just lived up above the pool, and he would walk down.
Yeah.
I'll never forget one day, I made him so mad at me, he hauled off and hit me as hard as he could. I'll never forget, it hurt so bad. But he came in, and he took his shirt off, and he jumped in. I'm like, Casey, man, what are you doing? He's like, what do you mean, what am I doing? I said, take your t-shirt off when you're in the pool. I have got it. Hey, wait, is that a joke about me being pale? And then, like, we started calling him the white t-shirt after that, and he got so mad.
Oh, gosh, that's great. Oh, he was fun to get riled up.
Chicken fights, like, we'd get up on each other's shoulders and just beat the snot out of each other, trying to knock each other into the pool. It was great.
Oh, man, that sounds awesome.
That's what I associate arcades with, is fun stuff like that, fun memories.
That's awesome, man. I love that stuff. Well, I've got a lot when I was a kid, and I think I've shared a lot on the show, but one that happened more recently that, you know, really stood out to me, like one of my favorite arcade memories ever. And guess what, buddy? You were there. You were there. Do you remember the time? Yeah, it was... It wasn't that long ago. It was maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I drove up your way, and we went to remember we did we played X-Men all the way through. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
What was the name of that arcade in Asheville? That was such a good time.
It's called the Retrocade, I think is what they call that.
Yeah, it was in the bottom. I remember it was two levels, right? And
yeah.
Then, yeah, I mean, we played all the games at the top, and then we went down to the bottom. And, I mean, it was hopping. I mean, there were a bunch of people in there. Everyone's having a good time. 80s music's blasting. I remember there were so many different iconic arcade games that were there. Turtles. I remember we sat through, and we just were like, hey, you want to beat X-Men? And we're like, yeah, sure. And
I remember we beat X-Men and Turtles in time that day, just because we
wanted to. That was so much fun. I mean... And you know, we weren't obnoxious or anything like that. We just had a good time playing games. And that was such a good time. So,
played Super Off-Road.
Well, yeah. You schooled me in that one. But yeah, that's one of the more recent ones I remember. Yeah, it was such a good time. I think it might have been maybe your birthday or my birthday. I don't know. It was some kind of special occasion, but
I think
it
was your birthday, because I think we went and got wings, and I'm like, no, it's your birthday. I've got you, buddy. And then we went and played arcade games from, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon until nearly 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that was such a good time. So, yeah, that's one of my more recent ones. We got to do that again very soon. Maybe the summer.
Hey, they reopened up, and, like, they're letting people in now.
Oh, that'd be amazing. We got to go.
They were closed for COVID for a while, and now they're back up. And, like, they've got the – you know how they had, like, the big garage, like, window that, like, came down? They've got that window thrown open, and they've got the 80s music, like, pumping out into the street and everything around.
Oh, cool. Cool. We got to go back.
We got to go there, and we got to go to the Pinball Museum.
Yes, yes. That was a lot of fun, too. That was a little bit more recent, and oh, that's a special place, too. I love pinball. I've never been great at it, but I really enjoy it. I remember seeing a Gorgar cabinet there. Of course, RoboCop was – I was magically good at that for one day.
They and, had the Elvira and the Party Monsters.
That's it. That was the other one, because I remember I had the emulator of it. I saw it in person, and it was felt completely different, obviously, and I was a lot worse at that one. But it was fun. I love that game.
You know, something about the Pinball Museum, and I don't know if I told you this when we were there, the arcade cabinet that Retromania happened on ended up there. It's in the corner there.
Did it really?
In the Pinball Museum, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Our buddy Rob sold the stand-up cabinet to the guy that owned that.
Oh, man, I'd love to get that cabinet just for nostalgia's sake.
And I wanted to like, go by and, like, carve my name on the side of it, but I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
You know what I'd like to get? I'd like to get Rob's belt.
That belt? Oh,
do you think
man.
He still got that thing?
He's got it up in the museum, man. along with the flyers and pictures from that day.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I'd love to have some kind of like memorabilia. That was a special time. Now, listeners, for those of you who might not know, back in 2014 or 15, we had a little tournament near Landon's house in the Retro Gamer, what it was known then, you know, which is a really cool retro museum and computer repair shop in Canton, North Carolina. And we had it for a local charity, wasn't it, Landon?
Yep, we had it to benefit a young man who was going through some medical issues,
yeah,
and to help pay hospital and transportation costs for him to go back and forth to Atlanta every week.
Yeah, I remember it got in the paper and everything, and it was a beautiful, I think it was a winter day. It was pretty cold, I think.
Yeah.
But beautiful day, and Nick Stevenson showed up. That was the first time we got to meet Nick Stevens from Genesis Gems Podcast.
And Willie showed up.
Yeah, Willie showed up. Oh, my gosh. And
Kelso was there.
Kelso was there from Two Dudes. And, man, it was such a good time. And it's seriously one of the most fun times I've ever spent playing video games, because we were all huddled around this, you know, we only had a couple arcade cabinets. And it's a tiny little store anyway. But it was just really, really fun to just be together and do something that meant something. And I'd love to do that again one day.
Man, I've still got that picture of all of us in the gazebo, and it's like not pictured as Willie, because Willie was on his round of Galaga at the time.
Yes, and he was really good.
He was really good. Rob Worth ended up winning it, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some controversy around that.
he scored, like, he seriously scored like 150,000 points. That's no small task in that game.
Oh, yeah. Not take anything from him, yeah.
I'm trying to think who I know we had the individual winners that got a medal,
mm-hmm,
and then the overall winner of everything with the highest combined score got
the belt. Yeah, that was Rob.
Rob got the Galaga medal and the belt. I want to say, did Willie get the pimp? Did Willie get the Pac-Man medal?
I don't know. Or did he get text
him? I can't remember if he got the Pac-Man or the Donkey Kong, because I know Philip, little Landon's buddy Philip, I think he won the Donkey Kong medal, barely.
Yeah, I forget who won the Miss Pac-Man one.
And it was like, the Donkey Kong medal was really close. It was like to the last life. And he ended up jumping over a barrel and then died, and he ended up winning by that one barrel on the scoreboard.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, that was a cool day. That was a cool event. I don't know if I could do it again, though, man. I was so worn out after that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know it, man.
When we all went to dinner with each other, and we're all just kind of like sitting there staring at each other like, you dead, man? Yeah. You? Yeah.
That was a long day. Yeah. That was fun, though. There's a video somewhere of that. But by the way, for those of you who might not know, Willie, great friend of the Retro Junkies community, really, really class act guy. He has an amazing YouTube channel called Arcade USA, which, I mean, the guy's a machine. He's constantly posting videos, and they're all really good.
They're good. You need to subscribe.
Yes. If you haven't heard of Arcade USA, go look his channel up on YouTube. It's amazing. Maybe I'll put a link to it in the show notes. He will always be an honorary member of our network, even though we don't have a network.
our network that no longer exists.
Exactly. He will always be an honorary friend. And by the way, you've heard him before. If you've ever heard the show, any bad guy is always voiced by Willie. He does such an amazing job in our skits. So big shout out to Willie. We love you, buddy. And hope to see you again soon, man. Thanks for the great content and just for being the awesome dude you are.
Do you know that something that you and I had at one point is in a Willie video?
No.
Josh Witt was helping him produce some content, and he did some of his favorite, you know, physical copies of games that he owns, and one of them is the NHL 94 cartridge that me and you signed for him.
Really?
That he had us sign that day that we all hung out and went to the flea market, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, Josh Witt's another class act guy.
He put that up there, and I'm like, I know that cartridge. I signed it in a Bojangles parking lot.
You know, and Josh Witt, he's another one. My old Turtle Flakes buddy, he came in to Tennessee and North Carolina, saw us.
Yeah.
And, you know, instantly, like, we all hit it off. It was so wonderful. And he and I, we're still close to this day. So I think he'll come back down soon, later.
You guys need to come over, and we'll go back to the flea market and see Batman UL.
That sounds great. I'll text him and say, hey, you know, because now that you mentioned the Retrocade's open and the Pinball Museum's open, we need to get this done. That'd be awesome. So, but great times. You know, the whole point is, like, there's something special about the arcade. There really is. And when people, especially for the Retromania, like what we talked about, you know, everyone was gathered around people, rooting for each other. Like, there was no real beef or competition between anybody. And even if there were, I think that would have been fun, too. But it was just so fun to be around people playing these games.
It was like the old days, like when you would go to an arcade and, like, you would watch the guy who was that, you know, like, for instance, like Street Fighter. You would watch the guy that was his game take on everybody and beat them. It was kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Everybody stood around. You know, you'd put your little whatever we were giving them to show that they hadn't played yet. You know, you'd put your little token up that you were ready to play, and everybody would cheer, and they had music pumping. And
yeah, and it feels like a sporting event, doesn't it? You know, you got one guy going up against another guy for a high score.
And, like, I remember I looked at you at one point, like, we're both sitting there sweating, and, like, we went outside, and we're just like, oh, my gosh, we got to get out of there. There's so many people. It's hot in there.
Yeah, no kidding. As cold as it was outside, man, it was hot in that arcade, that little place. So, yeah, man, so speaking of which, okay, now's the big question, man.
The big one.
Do you want me to go first, or you want to go first?
You go first.
Okay, so I, very anticlimactically, I revealed mine on Instagram anyway. By the way, if you follow us at the Retro Junkies on Instagram, I think that's what it is. But I already said what mine was. And this is a game that I discovered later in life. It's a game called Tapper. Now, Tapper is one I never actually played the original version of the game, Tapper, but I've seen many, many videos. I've never seen it in person, though, which is interesting. But yeah, Tapper is a classic arcade game. It came out in 1982. It was designed by Scott Morrison and Steve Meyer. And the interesting thing is that Tapper is not actually the guy's name, the main character in the game's name. His name's actually Domino Man, because, Tapper's actually like an unofficial sequel of the game Domino Man, which was the first of the series developed by these two guys. And I never even heard of Domino Man until I did some research for the game. So Domino Man, it came out in 1982-ish, and it was a Bally Midway arcade game. And the trick with Domino Man, which I think was 82, maybe 83 roughly, is that basically you set up a series of dominoes and you make sure that the people walking around the dominoes don't knock them down. So you have to drag those people off the screen before those people topple the dominoes that you have stacked.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was a fun premise. Sounded stressful, just like Tapper. but really kind of cool premise. And, you know, enemies included killer bees and bullies. The bully, as a matter of fact, couldn't be stopped, so you had to hope that you had all of your dominoes set up perfectly before the bully got to them, and hope that you could clear all the other distractions beforehand. So anyways, you can see a big influence from Domino Man to Tapper because of the graphic style, the gameplay, and even the running animation of Domino Man to that of the bar hop in Tapper. And then, you know, I got a lot of information from Arcade Museum. Basically, this is the gist of the game, okay? The player controls Domino Man, I won't read all that stuff about Domino Man. I'll get to Tapper. Let's see, where is it? Okay, I'll talk about Tapper. Okay. So Tapper came out about a year later, in late 1983. And, of course, it was published once again by Bally and Midway. The other machines that were out at the time by Bally and Midway included Galaxy Ranger, NFL Football, Professor Pac-Man, Journey, Captain Cruiser, Cosmic Cruiser, Blueprint, Super Pac-Man, Bump and Jump,
Bump and Junk. Oh, man.
Now I've actually played Bump and Jump. It's kind of fun.
I've not played most of these. I think I've seen Professor Pac-Man before, and Pac-Man Plus. So the whole gist of Tapper is that you're a bartender serving Budweiser beer to patrons. So as you can see, you know, right away, this is a very kind of niche market. You probably saw a lot of these cabinets in bars themselves, but you're not going to see them in your local arcades because Bally and Midway would probably get in a little bit of trouble if they were peddling alcohol or promoting the peddling of alcohol for kids to play. So it says here, you're a bartender serving Budweiser beer to patrons. You must serve everyone a beer before they work their way up to the kegs. You must also grab empty mugs before they slide off the end of the bar. Extra points are given for collecting tips. By the way, tips, that's where it's at. I think you could get the most points collecting the tips. bonus rounds include... Oh, I love the little bonus rounds with the little bandit that takes the drink and shakes it and then puts it back. And then he shuffles the drinks around and you have to try to find which one's not been shaken. Those are great. But the bonus rounds involve locating one beer that has not been shaken and serving it. The cabinet for Tapper and Root Beer Tapper, so unique. That's why I don't think I've ever seen it in person, because it would have stood out. The cabinet's set up to resemble a bar. There's literally a brass rail that runs along the bottom and two brass drink trays or ashtray holders on each side of the control panel. How unique is that? It's like, hey, you can put your beer right here.
You put your beer there, you take a smoke, you know, have a sip.
Put your feet up, no kidding. The cabinet gameplay on the beer version features a Budweiser logo. The pour spouts have Budweiser handles to resemble the actual pour spouts in real bars, which I thought was kind of cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously this was more geared to adults, but they eventually decided, you know what? This is a hit. This game's really selling. People like it. It's simple, but yet hard to master. So let's put this in any arcade. So they had to change it up, obviously, because there'd be a lot of kids playing these games. So that's when they changed it the next year in 1984 to Root Beer Tapper. Now, that's the one I know of. That's the one I played, because on my iPad several years ago, probably around the same time we started the Retro Junkies in 2013 or 2012, I downloaded the Midway Arcade app. And I found this game. I was like, Root Beer Tapper, what is this about? And I played it, and I got hooked. It was so fun and stressful at the same time, which kind of reminds me of Ms. Pac-Man in that way. One of those games, easy to pick up, really, really fun. Love the music, love the concept, but it's hard to master. Anyways, so the Root Beer Tapper version, you are a soda jerk serving root beers to patrons. And it's amazing how aggravated they get if they don't get their root beer right away.
Yeah, they're grumpy, man.
No kidding.
I always liked, and I may be thinking of another game, but wasn't it the one where he would, like, if you got through a level, he would, like, pick up a little mug and, like, do little different things with it? And the one where he kicks it and it breaks and he just kind of looks at it. I love that one.
Yeah, he's like, wow, I did that. My favorite one is where he just randomly throws it above his head and then it just gets caught on his head. He's just looking at the camera.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff. Or he stubs his toe. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
So, yeah, a little fun fact about Tapper. Scott Morrison, the programmer for the game, he actually thought it'd be funny to install a speech chip from the Texas Instruments and recorded it himself. And I think the other programmer, what was his name? Steve Meyer. So Scott and Steve Meyer, they took turns burping into a microphone to create the sound effects that were supposed to be used for the customers. Unfortunately, he said it got obnoxious after a while, so he decided to scrap that idea. But it would have been funny to hear that in the background of an arcade, just some random burping, you know, over and over
hilarious.
Again. So anyways, the Root Beer Tapper game is almost exactly like the original Tapper, except that the character you control is a soda jerk instead of a bartender. The beverage that is served is root beer instead of Budweiser beer, and the background music is different. Like in the original game, the first level is a Western saloon where the customers are cowboys and cowgirls. The second level is a sports bar. I guess it's kind of like a tailgate party where the customers are athletes, including baseball players, football players, and basketball players. And I think even tennis players in that one. And then the third level, if you're lucky enough to even get to the third level, is a punk rock bar. Yeah, where customers are punk rockers. And then there's a fourth level as well, which I've only gotten to like twice, where the customers are strange alien creatures from other planets all over the universe. So the whole point of the game is, basically, you have to fill up these mugs for these customers as they're making their way up these four bars. So you basically press the joystick up and down, and then you hit the action button to fill up each pitcher, and then you slide them down. But the thing is, as you're serving them down each bar, they drink the beer, and depending on how far down the bar they are, if you don't give them a drink right away and get them off the screen, they'll finish that one. They'll put the empty mug back on the bar, and it starts sliding toward you again. So you need to collect that empty mug, any tips, and serve that customer again until he slides off the bar. And if he doesn't, either he'll keep coming forward, and if he gets to the edge of the bar without you serving him, he'll literally grab you and slide you down the bar, which is a funny animation.
That is funny.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, a drink will spill or an empty glass will spill and you lose a life. And you only get three. And I can't remember how many thousand points you get until you get an extra life. So you can get up to four or five lives that way. Now, there is a little strategy that helps tremendously when you play this game if you want to get a high score. Basically, the first level, the very first round of the first level, it's slow. And you can just keep serving these guys over and over and over again for the most part. Maybe it ends at some point, but the first level is definitely the easiest. And then part two of the first level, and then when you get to the tailgate party, I don't think you get that opportunity. But that very, very first level, you can kind of take your time, get a feel for the game, rack up that high score. Like, I would get close to 10,000 on the first level. And then finally out of boredom, I'm like, okay, I want more of a challenge. And then you would start level two. But yeah, but so the scoring system, the tip is $1,500. The drinks, for the Cowboys, it's 50 per cowboy that's served, 75 per sports person, 100 per punk rocker, and 150 per alien served. Completing a rack is 1,000 points, and completing a bonus rack is 3,000 points. So those bonus levels are very important if you want to get a high score. And like I said, there are four bars and four kegs in each level. The first level has cowboys, and I said all that, so I won't say that again. Oh, so here's the thing that is kind of cool. When you go and collect the tip, showgirls will sometimes appear on the stage and do a little dance. And this is really nice because it actually, like, if things are getting hectic, you need those patrons to be distracted. So they'll be, like, waving their hands in the air, like, yay, this is great, this is great. But you also got to be careful, too, because not every single one of the customers will be distracted by them. So it gives you a break from serving everybody, but you still need to be aware that there's some that you need to serve. It gets challenging quick, but I love the humor in this game. The animations are so funny. And I just love how, like I said, the little customers can drag you down the bar. I love the designs of each level. Oh, okay. Speaking of designs, the character design of Domino Man, this is interesting. It was based on a man that Scott Morrison actually worked with. He had a bald head and a huge twirling mustache and always wore red. So, yeah, he based his character, Domino Man, on that guy, which is funny. So, you know, of course, stage one, you got the cowboy bar. And then stage two, you got the outdoor tailgating sports theme where showgirls are actually the cheerleaders this time. And I love the Budweiser sports blimp that's in the background. And I think they must change that to root beer in the family-friendly game. And then the customers, you know, of course, you got your football and basketball players. But where are the hockey players? Jeez. You know, they like...
No respect.
They like a good cold one too, eh? Like, yeah, hey, where's our Molson, eh?
Yeah, more than most sports.
No kidding. And then this time the kegs are on the left side with the Budweiser umbrellas over them. Stage three, the punk rock bar. Love the design of this stage. It's got windows broken on the left side of the screen. There are two taps on the left and then two on the right, so you got to kind of go between each side. You got green slime on the walls, which I don't know what that is. Punk rockers have cool, crazy hairdos. There's spilled beer beside the kegs, or root beer, whatever you want to call it. And there's broken doors strewn across the surface of the bars, which I'm not sure where the doors came from. But yeah, there you go. And then stage four is the space bar. And I've only gotten here a couple of times, but I love the Bud spaceship, the Budweiser spaceship. The aliens look incredible. They're red and green, blue, gray, purple. And they're kind of a cute cross between aliens and Muppets. And yeah, you're on this platform with the bars zigzagging in opposite directions, and the bars look like conveyor belts. So really, really cool concept. There's only four levels, but they are hard. So big, big slice of pizza. Big shout goes to anybody who can be really good at this game. And then as far as ports go, only Root Beer Tapper that I know of was ported. And it was ported to the Atari 2600, which is interesting because I've seen videos of it. And they swapped it out. It's not Root Beer, but like a Mountain Dew sign in the background instead of the Root Beer sign. Yeah, yeah. The Apple II had ported this game, and it looks pretty good, even though the animations move a little slower. And it actually has green moose heads, so it's got its own kind of background. The MS-DOS and the Commodore 64, they're slow, but the graphics are good, and the music's really solid. And then the ColecoVision looks like the best version of the game from what I've seen in videos, where the sprite animation is pretty close to the arcade version, the music is good, and the level design is good. But here's the thing. It is crazy expensive. Yeah, I searched it up on eBay. It's going for like $90 in box. And then I think it was like 70-some just for the loose card of it. And I said, man, I can't afford this. And I asked Willie, I said, man, is there something going on with ColecoVision games right now? And he said, yeah, some famous YouTuber has been really hyping it up. And now the prices are skyrocketing. So. I know. So, yeah. So, the Legacy of Domino Man, real quick, there was one more game that was supposed to be in this unofficial series by the same developers. And that was a game called Timber, which came out a year or two later. And the whole object of this game is Domino Man is chopping down trees and avoiding wildlife as he does it. And that was it. It seemed like a great idea, but it just didn't take off like Tapper and Root Beer Tapper did. And then, of course, you know, we all know Tapper from Wreck-It Ralph, which I just saw recently. And one of the guys in the video I saw, he's like, he made it clear. He's like, that's not his name. It's Domino Man. but yeah, it was still cool to see that character come to life on the big screen in 2012. So this game is pretty legendary now, but I don't know if it was as well known back in the day. Man, I could be wrong. But I had never even heard of the game until, you know, my later years. So, but it's really one of the games I go back to all the time. I love this game. And I know if I had found this as a kid, I would have played this one like crazy. So, yeah, that is my pick. Oh, and one last thing I'll say is there's a great video, and I'll include it in our show notes, of this lady. She is a former world record holder of the game, Tapper. Her name is Lauren Featherstone. And there's this guy. Okay, so the channel's called Free Play Arcade. And the main host, you know, I guess he's the guy who runs the channel. He seems like a very nice guy. He's got his own podcast and stuff. But he's talking in her ear the entire time. And you could tell she's trying to answer his questions while concentrating. And she's super chill about it. But it's just like, you know, she could have done so much better if she, you know, wasn't as distracted. But she's so super chill about it and has such a talent for the game. It was just a joy to watch her play for about an hour. So it's a great video. I'll include it in our show notes. But yeah, again, her name is Lauren Featherstone. She's a former, I don't know if she's a Twin Galaxies, a world record holder of this game, but she's a pro for sure. So man, I'm so sorry I talked like for 15 minutes straight.
Whatever. No, you're good, man.
But yeah, man, so my pick was Tapper and Root Beer Tapper by Matt Bally and Midway. So I'm excited to hear yours, man, because you didn't...
I didn't give any hints.
No, you didn't tip your hand or anything, so I don't know.
Oh, well, it's a pretty popular game. I'll see if you can guess it. I'll give you some clues. It was released in 82 by Bally Midway.
Ooh, it's already not the one I thought you were going to pick. Okay.
It originally started out as an arcade conversion kit.
Ooh. Bally. Ooh, keep going. I don't know.
All right. Let's see. It was a conversion kit or an unofficial hack called Crazy Auto.
I this sounds so familiar to me. I feel like such a doofus for not knowing it. Okay, I give up.
All right. Miss Pac-Man.
Hey, Joey, what's she really like?
She's the most exciting woman I ever met.
Atari introduces the woman of the year, Ms. Pac-Man. Just like the arcade classic, four different game screens, floating fruit, even pretzels.
Honey, don't you know, I'm more than Pac-Man with a bow.
Reach for Ms. Pac-Man.
Reach, reach, reach for Atari.
I know you're not going to believe it. I really was thinking that. Crazy Otto. That threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That is one of my all-time favorites. That's one of my, what I call one of my comfort games.
Yes, great pick, man. I love Ms. Pac-Man more than Pac-Man. That, great pick.
Yeah, I think I do too. Like, for the longest time, I was kind of waffling. Like, well, I really liked Pac-Man, but Ms. Pac-Man, it just, the different mazes, and it just had something a little, it was just a little different enough to be a little bit better, I thought.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, like we said, it was a, it wasn't even a, really an original game. It was a conversion or a hack for Pac-Man. And the documentary High Score on Netflix kind of goes into this into a lot more detail, but what it boiled down to was kids that were, you know, in colleges that had access to these arcade cabinets and things that were kind of in electrical engineering programs at the time, would sneak and try to modify the computer boards to where it would give you a life, you know, an extra life at a lower score, or would make the enemies behave differently or change the layout of the levels. And that's kind of how Crazy Otto started, was it was somebody wanting to make Pac-Man, you know, they had played the same level over and over and over and over again, and the ghost just got faster and faster. And the guy who created the Ms. Pac-Man hack said, you know, we were just wanting more levels. Like, we were wanting more levels and, you know, not the same level and not the ghost to get faster. Now, he said, you know, eventually we would get to where the ghost would get faster and smarter, but they would have more mazes to run through. And that's kind of how Ms. Pac-Man came about, was somebody who had, you know, and that this is a very broad term, had thought they had mastered Pac-Man, wanted more of a challenge. But yeah, that's what I would say is probably my arcade favorite, one of my arcade favorites, just because it's such a comfort game. And if you've played Pac-Man, you know the story. It's, you're in a maze, you have little dots that you have to eat, and you have to eat all the dots to go on to the next board, so to say. And the thing with Pac-Man was, it was the same maze layout for all the games. So you could be on, like, level 10 or 15, and it would be the same maze that you were in level 1, just the ghosts were faster and your power pellets didn't last as long. With Ms. Pac-Man, the mazes kind of changed. And let me pull up here. I had pulled up what the maze changes were, because I, heaven knows, I've never seen all of these mazes. So the orange maze, what they call the orange maze, is levels 1 and 2, and then the light blue maze comes about in levels 3, 4, and 5. The brown maze appears in levels 6 through 9, and a dark blue maze appears in levels 10 through 13. And then starting with level 14, the last two maze configurations alternate between each other every fourth level.
Wow.
I've never made it that far, Ms. Pac-Man. I have probably only ever made it to the brown maze, level 6 through 9. I think I made it to level 7 once, and I took a picture of it because I'm like, I'm never going to make it this far again. But that's one of those games, you know, I can be stressed out, having a bad day, you know, just kind of feel down in the dumps, nothing goes my way or whatever, and I can play Ms. Pac-Man and just kind of forget about my problems and my troubles for a little bit and just focus on trying to get through the maze, trying to get the high score, trying to get all the ghosts together to where I can eat them all in one dot, you know, one big power dot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this Ms. Pac-Man, you know, it kind of has a weird development history. It started as a hack, and then, you know, Bally Midway It involves Bally Midway, and Atari was involved in it for a little bit. And eventually what happened is Bally Midway's like, okay, yeah, we can work with this. What we'll do is instead of publishing it as an add-on for Pac-Man, we'll make it its own thing and call it Miss Pac-Man. And the reason that it was Miss Pac-Man was, you know, this was kind of back when arcade games were starting to really take off. You know, they just weren't in bars or pubs anymore. They were starting to, you know, get their own dedicated buildings, arcades basically. And they tracked the demographic information, Bally Midway did, and come to find out that just as many women played Pac-Man as men. Huh. You know, because arcade games before that had just been thought of as like, oh yeah, you know, it's a couple of guys at the bar kicking back, you know, a couple of drinks, and they're going to play an arcade game or two and then go home. But it ended up that it was, you know, equally men and women, and they named it Miss Pac-Man to try to draw more female gamers into gaming. Because they thought, well, you know, you've got a strong female character who is the focus of your game, that's going to get more women drawn in. But it you know, it still came in like 50-50 men and women, but it drew in more people than Pac-Man did. The sales of Miss Pac-Man, it's like one of the greatest arcade games of all time, like, and the number of cabinets produced and sold and, you know, re-release. I mean, you can go just about anywhere that has a couple of arcade cabinets and probably find a Miss Pac-Man cabinet.
I was about to say, yeah, which one was probably the more financially successful machine? I would argue it would probably be Miss Pac-Man, right?
I think it's Miss Pac-Man. I want to say it might be one of the top.
Yeah, probably top grossing, yeah, machines ever. Boy, I'd love to do some research on that. I bet you there's...
Try to figure that out. Because, you know, we had a... That little gas station that we had back home had a Miss Pac-Man and Galaga, the class of 82 cabinet.
Yes, I know it. I know it. Remember, we would... It was great because it was an old gas station that was tied to a McDonald's restaurant where two of our close friends that were in our group worked at. So, you know, when they'd be on break and stuff, they would join... Landon and I, we would be sitting in the lobby with two stools, have our energy drinks on top of the machine, trying to set the high score on that Miss Pac-Man machine or the Galaga machine, and then our buddies would come out and they would play with us a little bit too, and we did that a lot.
Yeah.
The lady who worked there, she'd be like, "Yeah, just, you know, help yourselves." There was somebody that would come in throughout the week and would beat our high scores, and we never figured out who it was.
We never knew who it was. No, that still kind of chaps me a little bit to this day to try to figure out who that was.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And the whole thing that started that, of course, Landon and I always loved games, but the King of Kong had just come out. I remember it came out on G4, and boy, that was such a cool, inspiring video, because I knew nothing about Twin Galaxies at the time. And I thought that was so interesting, that competitive gaming and, you know, it just inspired us to just go out and, hey, let's see if we can set our local high score. I don't think we were ever going. I don't think we were ever trying to go for a world record, but, you know, the local store score and see what we could do. And we had a lot of good times doing that, man. That was a lot of fun.
That was a good time. You know, somebody would beat their high. You know, we would be playing each other, and like, you would beat me, and then I would turn around and beat you, and then you would beat me again, and then somebody else would come in and beat both of us, and we're like, how did that happen? And
I'm like, oh, that's cheap.
I know. It was such a good time, though. It was such a good time, and that's what I associate with games like that, is just the good time.
Yes, yes, and the people gathered around watching, and, you know, that's part of it. I'll never forget one time, I think I was waiting for you or something, and I got there early, and I was playing that Miss Pac-Man. And these bikers walking into the gas station, and they are loaded. I mean, you can smell it on them and everything. And they're all starting to watch me play, and then I died. And this one guy taps me on the shoulder. He goes, "Hey, man, did you not see that ghost right there? You died." I was like, "Yeah, I saw him." Of course, finally they got bored and walked away. But I remember he's like, "Hey, man, you died." Yeah, I'm aware of that. I got a game over.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for the
game. Yeah, I can read that too. but yeah, I mean, and, you know, Miss Pac-Man was kind of different in some ways too. In Pac-Man, there was the food was stationary in the middle of the board.
Yeah,
it didn't move. In Miss Pac-Man, it would move. it would bounce around, and you had to try to get it if you wanted to get that.
Yeah, I love that sound effect too. The doot 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 doot.
Yeah, you could, when you heard the doot 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 doot, you're like, oh, the food's coming. The food's coming. It better be the pretzel. It better be the pretzel. But there was the cherry that was 100 points, the strawberry that was 200 points, the orange that was 500 points, the pretzel that was 700 points, the apple that was 1,000 points, which I never got to, the pear that was 2,000 points, and then there was a banana that came out that was worth 5,000 points. I would love to get the banana.
That'd be nice.
You want the banana. Mm-hmm. Eat that banana, Ms. Pac-Man. Get that potassium. And the thing about Ms. Pac-Man, you know, the intermissions.
Oh, that's my favorite part.
Were called acts in that one. And, you know, there were two acts. Like, the first act is they meet and, you know, Mr. Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man, they kind of chase each other and they end up kind of coming together. And then the second, wasn't the second one was where they get married?
I can't remember. I think so.
I think it was the one where they were, like, running at each other and then they got turned up and the two ghosts run into each other and they end up, like, making kissy face at each other.
And I like how they, like, it sounds like two coconuts, like, hitting each other. Like, boop.
Yeah. And then the third one is where the stork brings the little baby, the baby Pac-Man to them. And the ghosts are outside getting ready to get them. And they see the stork drop the baby Pac-Man off and it takes out after the ghosts.
They're like, oh, crap, more problems.
And then it just restarts again. But it's that simplicity is what makes it fun. It's you have a clear goal. You know how to get your goal, but the tactics and the way that you do it change every time you play the game because of the way that the ghosts chase you changes.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they said that was one of the things that when they were doing the hack, the Crazy Auto hack, was that the ghosts didn't do what they call scatter and chase, where they disperse and then they just kind of chase around until they find you. I'm going to be real dorky here and read this off, but Blinky and Pinky, the red ghost and the pink ghost, they move randomly. Inky and Sue head for the scatter corners only during first behavior mode of a round. So that means they'll chase you to the corners.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah, and then from there, they will change direction occasionally. They will remain in constant attack. So they're not chasing after you like they're kind of communicating with each other with where you're at. And the best trick to get the most points on this game is to run around where all of them see you and they're all kind of just like chasing you. And then get the power pellet and eat all four of them at once and get the 1,600 points.
Huh. Wow. That's smart.
That, you know, that's kind of just shows the leap in technology and the way people were thinking from when Pac-Man came out to when Ms. Pac-Man came out. You know, people were wanting more of a challenge. They were wanting, you know, more boards. They were wanting more, you know, I guess more intelligent AI from the ghosts to make it more fun. And, you know, Ms. Pac-Man delivered on that. And it's still, you know, it's still pretty difficult to this day to get really far in that game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I always loved the cabinet art for that game, too.
Oh, I know. The colors, like the light blue and the yellow and the pink. And
the pink pink joystick. Yeah.
It's very 80s, but it's 80s in a good way.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And, like, the game has basically been ported to every system known to man at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first home version of that I ever played was the Sega Genesis Ms. Pac-Man.
That's not a bad port. That's not a bad port. I remember playing that one, too. And I think there's two on the Nintendo, I think. Isn't there like a 10-gen one and a regular Nintendo one?
I think so. I know they had that for Pac-Man because...
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Because I think I played the regular, the Nintendo license one. Or no, maybe I played the 10-gen one. I know the 10-gen one was in those crazy cartridges that they put out.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, I've had a Tengen game, and I thought those were the coolest cartridges ever.
You know what? I'll be right back, Hosted. I got my rack right here. One sec.
Uh-oh. Huh.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I'm looking at the back of the box here for the Tengen copy. I think my buddy Ferg gave this to me a long time ago. But yeah, I mean, this is a pretty daggone good-looking port right here. I see the pretzel in the back screen. I'm looking at the screenshots here. It looks really good. And I bet you... The Atari 2600 port of this game was a little bit better than the original Pac-Man port of this game.
I think it was. Just looking at the screenshots of it, I mean, you can definitely tell that it's Miss Pac-Man because she's got a bow on her head. And the maze kind of looks like the maze in the game. So,
yeah,
they did better on that than they did with poor 2600 Pac-Man.
No kid. So, yeah, man, great pick, man. I didn't expect you to pick that one. I was convinced you were going to do Street Fighter.
I thought about it. That's my number. That might be my number two. That might be what I do next time.
Awesome. Oh yes, thank you for bringing that up because I think you know we love arcade games and you know that's a big part of the show. So. I think we ought to do like a Retromania kind of themed episode every year, like leading up to the road to Retromania where, you know, we pick an arcade game we want to talk about every year, if not more than once a year. So
I'm down for
fun. That. Heck yeah. Me too. So we did get feedback on this episode. And remember, I did say anybody,
we like people.
Yes, absolutely. We miss hearing from people. Oh, I miss the days where this felt like a community, yeah, and we want to hear more from you guys. For those of you listening, I know we got at least like 8 listeners out there. So if you're listening,
we love you 8 people.
Yes, thank you so much for listening. And you know, like Landon and I, we were saying before this, we probably record no matter who was if anyone was listening
right.
or not, because this is just fun to do. But yeah, we did get an email from our good buddy, longtime listener, longtime friend of the show, Atari Man himself, Nick DeMarco. So let me read his email real fast. And by the way, Nick, since you are our only feedback we've received, yeah, I'm going to try to send you a little care package out just to say thank you, man.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Watch out. He'll booby trap it.
Oh, take off. I will. Not this time.
Nah, he'll put itching powder in it.
I'd like to keep this listener. So it says here, greetings, host heads. You know, after celebrating my 40th year of existing here on... Hey, happy birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
Yeah, existing here on Earth, you pose quite the task for me to share some of my favorite arcade titles with you, because there are just so many. I decided it would be best to limit it to 3 I always play and with my fondest memories. WWF Superstars. Sure, WWF WrestleFest is great, but WWF Superstars is the game where, as my brother went for batting practice, I stacked up quarters nearby and tried to defeat the nefarious and poorly voice acted Megabucks. Ah, fake Andre, your voice is so nostalgic.
It is. It's pretty funny. We're the Megabucks. It's kind of how he sounds like.
Let's be honest, though. Without the Ultimate Warrior's 50-50 shot of press slamming Andre, you really didn't stand much of a chance unless you kept the Million Dollar Man in there to beat on. The game ate up nearly half a roll of quarters for me, but man, that was fun. All right, next one is it Gapless or Galaga 3? Is that how you say Gapless?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Or Galaga 3, if you prefer. I've always been a huge Galaga fan, and while I give Galaga 90 on the TurboGrafx 16 a slight nod as my absolute favorite Galaga, that is a great game.
That's a great one.
I'm with you, man. This one is a close second, but in a unique way. You see, I believe Gapless is a lesson in arcade masochism because the game is tough, whereas the original Galaga, at least for a bit, takes you by the hand, makes you feel like you're at least a mediocre gamer at best. That's true. Gapless gives you just 3 rounds before the Jaws-like music hits, the stars looking all twinkly start going in the opposite direction, and the enemies are seemingly thrown at you like an angry space god got bored and picked on the little guy. I've got a love-hate relationship with this game. All right, number 3 is third pick, Bucky O'Hare. Sure, I could have went with TMNT or The Simpsons, but I have love for this lesser-known Konami beat-em-up. If Arcade 1-Up ever makes a cabinet for this or The Simpsons, or heck, has them both in one cabinet, I will surely be adding this to my store's Retroverse Lounge. In the same way TMNT feels like an extension of the cartoon show, the same can be said for this game. And the quality of the voice acting, the large sprawling levels, it just doesn't get the love its more popular arcade cousins do. And that's a shame because it's amazing. Well, there you have it, hosers. I'm glad I could inspire you guys for this episode in the same way that I am inspired to wear flannel shirts after brushing my teeth and filling my pockets with chicken biscuits like a good boy should. Nick DeMarco. Ah, thank you, Atari Man.
Yay,
really appreciate the email,
thank
man.
Thank you. All three of those are good picks. Bucky O'Hare is kind of underrated. I've played that through emulation, and it's a good game. It's kind of like Turtles and Simpsons, but kind of more cinematic in the way that it's presented.
I don't think I've ever played it. No, I've not even.
It's presented a lot like an episode of the cartoon.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I'll send you the opening to Bucky O'Hare. It is the craziest, like, late 80s, early 90s intro to a TV show ever. It's great, though. I love it.
I've seen the show. I don't think I've ever seen the arcade. Yeah, that's...
Search it up. It's good. I played it on a MAME emulator a long time ago and really enjoyed it.
Nice. Well, I mean, if it was in Konami's hands, it was probably really solid back then. That's awesome. Yeah, thank you, Nick, so much for reaching out, man. Always love hearing from you, and happy 40th birthday, my friend. I hope you and Kathleen are doing well. All right, Hoser, I think that's it for another episode of the Retro Junkies. What do you think?
We made it. We made it through another one.
Hey, all right. Look at that, 3 episodes in 1 year, man. That's a record for us.
Well, we're going to take the rest of the year off now.
Goodbye, I think we're done. We're done, everybody.
We'll see you again in 2022.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what do you want to do next, Hosehead?
Oh, I don't know. What are you feeling?
Do you want to do another Retro Junkies or Winging It? What are you feeling?
Whatever you feel like, man.
No, whatever you feel like. I chose this one, eh?
I'll still wing it. Just
cool.
I'm trying to think what we could do it on.
Maybe a movie?
We could do it on a movie. I'm trying to think what movie. I know what we could... It's not Halloween yet.
Uh-huh.
But my wife and I... Maybe we could do it on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
80s movies that would be good at the drive-in.
Oh,
like,
cool.
They're cheesy and bad, but they're... So cheesy and bad that they're kind of good.
Okay, that sounds good. Oh, you know what we ought to do is, why don't we do that? I love that theme, and like do like great movies that, you know, we could each pick 2 or 3 that would be great for drive-in. But why don't we pick? Why don't we pick one we both watch like over the next week or so?
Okay,
and then talk about that single one. Like that'll be our main feature together.
I like it.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
I like that.
The next couple of days, we'll pick one that we can both watch and, like, you know, maybe take our own notes on and then talk about as our main feature. And then we'll pick, like, 2 or 3, like, honorary mentions.
Oh, dude, if you've got Amazon Prime, there's a ton of them on there.
I need to get it. Yeah.
We watched The Stuff. That was another good one. It was about this, like, marshmallow cream stuff that when you ate enough of it, it eventually took you over. And, like...
The Stuff.
That was what it was called. They just called it The Stuff. And, like, it pretty much took over this town and took over all these people. It's kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers in a way, where The Stuff was this malevolent, like, being that was taking people over. And, it had a lot of really good gore effects, like heads cracking in like rotten coconuts and stuff like that. But,
that sounds good. That sounds good. Well, cool,
it's
man.
A lot of, like, Elvira-type movie stuff is what we've been watching.
Oh, that's the good stuff. That's the good stuff. Well, awesome, man. Well, guys, we can't thank you all enough for listening. Already excited for our topic for the next episode. These are...
I know.
Yeah, so Landon and I talked about it, and we're going to do great 80s horror movies to see in a drive-in, and then maybe we're going to pick a special feature where we both watch the same one and provide our thoughts on the next Winging It episode. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun. I love a good horror movie, especially in the summertime. So
it's a lot like the Joe Bob Briggs show. Remember Joe Bob on Monster Vision?
Yes. Such good stuff. I remember so many Friday the 13th marathons with him. Oh, so good. And his commentaries, it's hilarious.
Joe Bob's the best. And he's actually got a show on the Shudder Network.
Oh, okay.
Called The Drive-In Will Never Die. And it's where he reviews like newer drive-in style movies.
Awesome. I'll have to check that out. Awesome.
I'm a fan of the Joe Bob. I'm a fan on his Facebook page, and man, they have some good movies like Maximum Overdrive. Oh, such a good movie. So bad it's good.
So bad it's good. That's awesome. Well, cool. Well, I'm excited about the next episode, so stay tuned for that, guys. And if you have any feedback regarding your favorite arcade games or favorite arcade memories you'd like to share, or if you want to send any email in regarding our next topic about, you know, cheesy 80s horror movies that would be great in a drive-in. Drive-ins, right?
Yeah.
I was like, drive-through, drive-in. Send us an email at the Retro Junkies I'm sorry. Let me start over. You got me all flustered, eh? The Retro Junkies Super Show at gmail.com. And we're also on Instagram. I think it's at The Retro Junkies, all one word. And we are on Twitter at RJ_Super Show, I think.
I think so. I don't know.
I don't either. I should write this stuff down, eh?
I have none of that stuff saved.
Me neither. I used to have notes, but I just got notes on Root Beer Tapper, so I don't have anything else. But anyways, come find us. We'd love to hear from you. And, of course, you can always give us a call on our host or hotline. Our number is 865-309-4875. It's just a Google Voice, and you could leave a message, and we'll edit it into the show. So thank you guys again for listening. And hopefully we'll have another episode out to you by next month. We're very tentatively trying to record at least one episode a month. You know, it got a little hectic in February and March and everything with work. But, you know, that's our goal, tentatively to get at least one episode out a month. So please don't give up on us. We really do enjoy this show. And it's completely our intention to keep it going as long as we possibly can. So thank you guys so much for listening. And with that, Landon, you have anything to add real quick before we close out another episode?
No, man, just I'm looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah, me too. My gears are already turned, so this is good. All right, guys. Well, thank you again. And on behalf of Landon and myself, we hope you have a good day and good gaming. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, children.
Bye, children. All right. All right, another episode down, man.
Mm-hmm. What's the matter, Terrence? Did you fall?
Gen copy, but I didn't find the. I know I had a regular Nintendo copy of it. Recording? Alright, we're ready. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's do this thing, my man.
Official. Oh,
and by the way, I want to say something real quick. Buddy, I am so happy to do the show with you. I was talking to my buddy Kirkland yesterday. He's another brother of mine. I got to know him more recently in, like, the last 4 or 5 years. Actually, probably about 6 now. And so I get to do that show with him, the Turtle Show. Mm-hmm. And I get to do this with you. It's like, it's a dream come true. It's good for my soul just doing this stuff.
It is. It's good just to talk and talk about good things. There's so much negativity in the world right now. And, you know, with people and the virus and everything, it's just good to kind of focus on positive things and things that make you happy. It's fun.
All right, well, let's do this thing, my man.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Good day and good gaming, Retro Junkies. This is your host, Rob, and join with me on this... Oh, gosh, I always forget our intro, but... I don't think we have a set intro, do we?
I don't think we do. I think we're just kind of like, if it sounds good, go with it. Pretty funny. We're the Mega Bucks. It's kind of how he sounds like. I bought Lola a copy, a physical copy of Stardew Valley for her birthday yesterday.
Oh, did you? Great gift, man.
Yep. Her birthday's coming up June the 8th, so I'm like, you know what? She watched Caitlin and her boyfriend play it at their house one day, and she thought she would like it. So I'm like, See if I can find that for her.
I love that game because it's a nice blend. It's like a sandbox game.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can build your own stuff and upgrade your own house and all that kind of stuff. But it's also simple enough to where, you know, there is some direction to it too. If you want to, you know, follow the rules and do things. Terraria is like one of those games that's just like, here you go, figure it out.
Have fun.
Yeah, which was a little intimidating for me at first. So Stardew Valley kind of holds your hand a little bit and says, okay, hey, here's your new farm. All right, here's where you buy your stuff. It kind of holds your hand a little bit, but still there's a lot of freedom to do a lot of different things, like fish and leveling up that way. There's so many different ways you can go about it. So I think she'll like it.
She'll love that.
Awesome. Maybe we could co-op a farm one day. A Retroducky farm.
Ooh. That'd be a loser farm. There wouldn't anything grow there.
Yeah, you host. You'd stay inside the whole day and play games, eh? I'd be playing the stuff.
Yeah, I'd be like, go out there and plant that corn, boy.
You'd be like, all right. Do anything.
You'd be like, you're not going to get out here and do anything? It's like, nah, man, I gotta stop a zombie invasion.
Looking out for zombies.
Looking out for zombies. You're like, man, this ground ain't going to till itself. Now you get out here and you plant this corn.
You know, it's funny, too, because you can get married in a game and you can get a divorce. And my wife actually got married and she's like, this guy's useless. And she divorced him. I was like, you just need a guy like me, baby.
And you're just like, don't get any ideas. Dude, they're just off the show. There's a ton of them on Amazon. Like, we watched Slumber Party Massacre 1. Pretty good movie. Slumber Party Massacre 2 was insane. It had a dude. This is no lie. He had a dang Ibanez Super Stratocaster that had a drill in it, and that's how he would kill the girls in it. Like, he would hit them with the Stratocaster that had the drill in it.
Oh, that's funny.
And he would sing rock songs to them while he killed them. And he thought he was like this big rocker dude. It was so bad. It was hilarious.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
We watched another one called Flesh Eating Mothers, which was good. It was about these moms in this town, and apparently one of the main character's dads had a habit of, you know, being the local dude that all the, and he had some kind of like viral thing that he didn't know he had, and it turned all the moms who had, you know, been with him into like zombies that like killed people. Oh my gosh, it was so good. And at the end, what saved everybody was penicillin. They gave the moms a shot of penicillin and it killed the zombie virus in them. It was so bad, but it was so good. It was so good, but like they go to a dance and those moms are like, you can tell that they're just like getting like ropes that are covered in fake blood and just like tearing them out of dummies and stuff.